You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. It appears all Michigan's mosques have canceled today's scheduled Friday prayers in response to concerns about COVID-19. This is just one of many, many difficult decisions that faith leaders are making going into the weekend. Qasim Ali is the executive administrator of the Islamic Center of America in Dearborn, the largest mosque in North America. Qasim, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Has anything like this ever happened before at the Islamic Center?
No, it has not, and I don't think anything like this has ever happened to us in the United States, frankly.
How did you come to this decision?
To cancel events at the Islamic Center, we really, out of an abundance of precaution, we basically took our cues from our health authorities and the government authorities, and we decided that in the best interest of our community and for their safety, that we would take that action and basically have fundamentally changed the way we do business. So we've canceled all of our events, all of our prayers or congregational prayers, although we are still open right now for individuals who may want to come and pray, and we have taken some precautions even to protect them.
Things like sanitizing doorknobs and things that people may touch?
Generally, the things that anyone would do to stay safe and under these circumstances, including sanitizing everything that comes in contact with anyone, recommending people exercise social distance, to only come to the mosque if they're well and not in the risk category, and basically trying to assure them that we are here to support them. However, for their safety and in their best interest, we have to take some of these precautions.
How are imams advising everyone who's affiliated with the mosque to practice their faith if they cannot physically be present?
Well, every Muslim has a personal obligation to practice their faith. I mean, part of a Muslim's obligation is to pray in congregation and to be with other Muslims, especially during Friday prayer. But under circumstances where there is some great risk there, then we have advised people that their obligations continue as personal, as Muslims, individual Muslims, at home and to practice their faith uninterrupted, except for the public presentation of their faith.
There are some acts of faith that cannot wait. Are events like funeral services continuing at this time?
We are continuing those. Obviously, we are very sensitive to those families who may be grieving for a loved one, a loss of a loved one, and we are taking precautions under those circumstances. But we are welcoming families, obviously, that may have a loss in their family, of a loved one, to our mosque and taking care of them the best way we can.
We've talked to clergy from other denominations who normally perform in-person visits for things like people who are very sick in hospitals or sometimes home visits. How are Sheikh Kasaruni and Sheikh Hamoud handling these questions right now?
Well, we are going to be handling those on a case-by-case basis. Obviously, we don't want to put them at risk in visiting a situation where there's potential for them to be in contact with somebody that may present with the virus or in a situation where we may have a risk factor that is unacceptable. Obviously, we want to be sensitive to a family's concerns and the family's wishes, but everyone's safety is really of the utmost importance.
Is the mosque getting very many phone calls or other messages from people just wondering what's going on?
There's so much information right now, April, that it's difficult to filter out what is really true and what is half truth or what is patently false. I mean, there are even some people out there who might say this is a smite from God and that type of thing. But I believe that in reality, if I say so myself, that this is a great opportunity for us. A great opportunity for us to be able to work together. It's a wake-up call, frankly. The great polarization that has been happening over the the last few years, not just during this administration, but it's been building up. And we, frankly, are being tested. And the test will be that if you work together, you will prevail. You will succeed. And polarization will always lead to failure.
Qasem Ali is Executive Administrator for the Islamic Center of America in Dearborn. Qasem, thank you very much for taking a few minutes with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, April.
One of the things that's so challenging about this time is the evolving guidance on COVID health risks. You make a plan, and then circumstances change. We called up Williamston United Methodist Church, not too far from Lansing, to speak with Pastor Linda Steffen. Also, we might mention a former staffer with Interlochen Public Radio. Thanks for joining us, Linda.
Thank you.
Now, I understand a couple days ago you were planning on holding hybrid services this weekend, meaning to say those who choose to come could attend in person and that a Facebook stream of the sermon would be provided for those who thought it was best to stay at home. I understand you've changed gears.
That's right. I mean, that was the plan as of 10 o'clock last night, but it's not happening. We just think that with the schools closing and with the plan being to try to get ahead of this illness, that it's not responsible for us to gather, even though we really are a small crowd and on a normal Sunday only worship with about 70 people.
How are you feeling today?
I think we're all feeling overworked and maybe a little bit anxious right now. But I also am grateful that I'm in the place that I'm at and able to hopefully be a calming presence to my people and also a bold leader and to make some good decisions for not just my church community, but for all of us.
Linda, have you ever delivered a sermon via Facebook Live before?
No, this will be a brand new thing. I'm glad that I've spent plenty of time in a radio booth so that I've delivered messages without people in front of me, but we'll have to see how this works, and I hope the technology works out for us and that it's meaningful. I think what I like about Facebook Live is the fact that people can interact with me and can send prayer requests to me and to each other right in the same time. So I hope that'll feel like we're together, even when we're in our own houses. And we're calling it Pajama-rama Church.
Meaning you can go to church in your jammies this way.
Exactly.
Right.
And we're trying to, you know, make it a little bit of lighthearted in the midst of the hard news.
Would you say that face-to-face interaction and that sort of personal relationship among the congregants and with you is essential to what goes on at your church?
Oh, absolutely. And essential, I think, to times of high anxiety, like right now. And I think that's the hard part about making that decision and why we had to wait so long to call off services this week or not call off services, but to move to an online format. Because people just need to be together right now and need to support one another and encourage one another and need to be able to worship and center on the voice of God and to move away from the anxiety. And so this is a particularly hard time to step away from this. I'll tell you, just last night we had youth group, and we only have about 10 of us, so that was okay to meet. And we did a check-in at the front. We asked people how they were feeling, and they were so anxious and so bummed that all of their important spring events are canceled. That was before they even knew they wouldn't be going to school for 3 weeks. And by the end of our time together, an hour and a half later, we did another check-in. We had done some spiritual work and had just spent time together and did some laughing and throwing Nerf balls. And they said they felt calm. They felt more at ease and they felt more like they could move forward. And so that was just night and day, 1 hour together. So yeah, gathering matters.
What's it like to have to say to someone in your congregation, "At other times, I would be glad to come to the hospital, sit by the side of your bed and hold hands and pray, but I can't do that"?
I think that's going to be a real challenge right now. We have a couple of members who are grieving and a couple of funerals today, not at our church, but their extended family members. And you think people really shouldn't be hugging each other. When do you need a hug more than when you're saying goodbye to someone you love? And so having to just be on the phone I think will be really hard. It's much more difficult than sitting with your pastor and singing together or praying together and holding one another's hands. I have, of course, members in the nursing homes, and it's just not safe for me to be going in there right now. And that's hard not only on the people there, but also on their families. So this will be a rough go for a few weeks. Hopefully it won't last too long. I hope that people know that they're loved right now. And our community, we have a community meal. We're going to have to suspend that as well. And there are a lot of seniors, people with disabilities, people who can go a whole week without having a meal with another person on a normal time. And we hope that people will reach out to their local communities and not be alone, especially if they run out of food or any of the necessities or they get sick and they need someone to talk to.
Pastor Linda Steffen of Williamston United Methodist Church. Linda, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for reaching out.
And for one last stop, we check in now with Rabbi Josh Winston. He is at Temple Beth Emeth in Ann Arbor. Rabbi Josh, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
What's the plan for Shabbat this weekend?
Well, the plan for Shabbat this weekend will probably be the plans for Shabbat in the coming weeks as well. That's at least what we're telling our congregation, and with the hopes of reassessing at the end of March. Basically, we're live streaming our services tonight and tomorrow morning. We've asked that our members not attend tonight in person, but live stream with us on their home computers or their phones or however they can do that to access it.
No one goes into your line of work without feeling a strong personal connection with people. What is it like to have to say to people, please don't show up tonight?
It feels awful, and I feel saddened that I'm asking people not to show up tonight. I do this work because I want to connect with people and help people ensure that they don't feel alone. And I realize that the request that we're making, you know, could possibly do the opposite for folks. And at the same time, in Jewish tradition, pikuach nefesh, the idea of saving a life, takes precedence over basically all other commandments, all the responsibilities we have. And if we can do something to slow this down, if we can do our part to help slow this down so that our health system can do what it needs to do to save as many lives as possible, then that feels like my responsibility to do.
What are you hearing from folks in the congregation? Do they sound stressed out?
Some people sound stressed out. Some people sound just a little worried. Some people are, you know, concerned now about having to spend 3 weeks with their kids and what they're going to do over the course of those 3 weeks and how they're going to manage that. And, you know, there's a lot of different feelings. And, you know, that's an interesting piece of my job. And the work that I get to do is just listening to where each individual is at. And not everybody is in the same place right now. But trying to just, you know, hear everybody and respond to their particular concerns.
Are there members of the congregation who maybe have lived through traumatic experiences or who have family members who, you know, maybe Holocaust survivors who have really seen some things in the world and may have a different perspective on this than some?
Yes, we have a few Holocaust survivors in the congregation. And, you know, of course, there are folks that have served at wartime and absolutely, I think there are people who have lived through traumatic communal moments. You know, the people that in particular, the survivors, the Holocaust survivors that I know, you know, they are some of the most thoughtful, understanding, compassionate people that I know. And if I were, why don't we say this, if I were to be listening to them right now, they would tell me, I think, to take a breath, to do what's right for other people, to be kind, to be patient, to make sure that when I'm at the grocery store, I'm not getting upset with, you know, a clerk, and to help each other out, because that's the way that we get through these things, is together.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I don't offer the question to suggest that, you know, they might be less caring about, you know, about a little thing like a virus, but just to say that I'm sure an experience like that must give you a little different way of looking at the world.
Yeah, I would think so. And again, I mean, I think that the survivors that I know, you know, would tell me to be caring, and not that as you said that's what they would tell me.
Are there any particular rituals that may be going forward? The celebrations of life, you know, the weddings, the bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, mm-hmm. or other things that just have to be put on the shelf for now?
So for right now, our bar and bat mitzvahs, the service will continue, and we've asked families to only invite their very close family members. You know, a lot of our kids have prepared a year for this moment, and we want them to still be able to go through with that. And so we're asking them to think differently about how they celebrate communally, but to continue to plan for the service.
Anything else you're telling your congregants right now about just how they're going through their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I one of the things that I wrote a letter to the congregation yesterday, and one of the things that I mentioned in there is while we're going to be doing things as a community to stay in touch with each other and to support each other, you know, you don't need a synagogue program or a church program or a mosque program or an anything program to call your neighbor. You don't need somebody to tell you to reach out to a friend. You know, if you're feeling lonely and hoping somebody would call you, I'm positive there's somebody else that would take your phone call. We all have to, you know, support each other in this social distancing that's going on, and you don't need a program to do that. You just need the thought to do it and a phone to make call.
Rabbi Josh, thank you for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Rabbi Josh Winston of Temple Beth Emeth.